yes, it's a photograph, but it's more than that to me. You know what I mean? It's not about the money. It's about a good connection and giving back and making people feel good and having memories for the rest of their lives. That's mm-hmm. You can't put a price tag on that.
Everybody, and welcome back to Hustlin' in Heels podcast. I am your host, Stacey.
I'm your co-host, Angie. I am back in the studio today.
Back. She has a voice.
I do.
She's not sick anymore. Nope. Now I'm the one sneezing.
Oh, well, that's not good.
I know. I don't know. I just
it's like you're a dwarf.
I'm allergic to winter.
Oh, well, I mean, aren't we all? Ugh. As I sit here in my open-toed shoes.
Oh, man. It's too cold. It's too cold for me out there. I'm a Michigan girl at heart. I'll never leave Michigan, but I will bitch about the winter every year when it comes around. I will be sure to do that. Talk about how much I hate cold weather. But, you know, it's just kind of what it is. I know those of you in California, those of you in Florida, those of you that listen from much warmer climates, I know you probably want to see snow, so, you know, take a trip to Michigan and experience it. But I promise you, after Christmas and after 3 months of this crap, you'll be real sick of it like we are. You guys, I need to calm down.
Yeah, you are worked up today. Man,
It's going to be a good night. So, Ange, what are you drinking?
Wine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm drinking wine.
Wine down Wednesday.
Yeah.
Although you all will be listening to this on Wednesday, too.
Yeah. So probably. It's still wine, not Wednesday.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. I am drinking, it's called Make Me Blush.
Ooh.
Mm. From Fruit Hills Winery and Orchard. It's in Bristol, Indiana, actually. So it's not Southwest Michigan, but it's not too far from here.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it has a really great story behind it. So my husband and I went. And we wanted to visit a different winery and looked some up, and there was one in Bristol that we'd never gone to. So we took a little road trip and went out there. And as we do, we struck up conversation with an older couple who was from the Chicago area. Then they always took a trip for their anniversary each year, and they happened to be out there. And they were celebrating like their 26th or 27th or something anniversary. And we struck up a really good conversation. And before they left, they bought us a bottle of wine, and it was so sweet. So I have brought that along with me today.
It's a pretty bottle.
It really is. It's mm-hmm. a great bottle. I love the name of it, Make Me Blush. It's appropriate for the story, mm-hmm. I suppose. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I enjoy it.
I like it. I am not drinking Make Me Blush, although I'm sure it's delicious.
Sweet.
It's too sweet for me. So I am drinking some, you guessed it, Chardonnay. I mean, you know, I could be more original some weeks probably, but this is a reserve Chardonnay from 2016 from one of my favorite wineries, from Lemon Creek Winery. You cannot go wrong with a Lemon Creek wine, and they are located in Berrien Springs, Michigan, in our little corner of the state, in a very charming tasting room. If you're ever in the area, you must check it out. We've featured Lemon Creek Wine a couple of times on Hustlin' in Heels, and it's just so good. We just keep going back. So that's what I'm drinking tonight. So thanks to the folks there. And I am being joined in the drinking of the Chardonnay by our guest tonight, Miss Beth Ann Anderson. Welcome.
Thank you.
How was the drive here?
Not too bad.
That's good.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
That's so good. And this is your first time in the studio?
Correct.
All right.
Yes.
So how does it feel to hear yourself through
a little headphones? Different. It's a little different, but hey, I'm rolling with it. I got this.
And that's why she's a hustler. She's like, she came in.
Absolutely.
Got her some wine, threw on the headphones. She's ready to rock it mm-hmm. out. So,
for sure.
Angie, why don't you give Beth Ann a little bit of an introduction.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's probably a little different for you because you're usually behind the camera. You're usually the one
totally
highlighting everybody else. So now we've got you here in the studio to hear sort of your story. And we sort of met, I guess, through you had done some photography for a really good family friend of yours and now of mine as well. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of how we got to know one another. And man, your photographs just told a story. And thank I really you. Appreciated that. And kind of did a little research and we started talking and you came and did our wedding.
I know. Yeah. It was amazing.
Your wedding photographer. Yeah,
our wedding photographer going on 4 years this July.
I can't believe it.
It's crazy, right?
It's gone by so fast.
A lot seriously. Happens in four yeah. years. Very, a lot happens yeah. in 4 years. But not only did you do my wedding photography, mm-hmm. Stacey, you'll be surprised to hear this. The introvert that I am, I decided to step out of my comfort zone for our first anniversary. And I did a boudoir shot, shoot
dang
with
girl.
She did. She rocked it.
Yeah, with Beth Ann. And man, she made me feel so comfortable. It was absolutely amazing. I actually was just looking at those pictures the other day and I was like, dude, these were so great. And we had
did
so much fun. And so I've kind
got
of
you on
followed
top of a car.
You. I am. I'm on top
of some tonic and tame.
Yeah.
A little white snake.
Dang, girl.
That's awesome.
But I mean,
we will
not
be sharing those on our
Facebook
page.
No, sorry.
However,
I had to say it. It was awesome.
It sounds fantastic, and we'll have to talk a little bit more. So if someone asked you, because this is kind of a relatively newer mainstream thing, right? So what is boudoir?
Boudoir?
Yeah.
So I've kind of changed the transition of the name boudoir to empowering sessions. The reason for that, I feel that everybody likes to feel empowered, like they feel good and confident, and that could be male or female. I feel boudoir, yes, I totally get it and everything, but I think with empowerment it's totally different. You just like for her, I feel like, and even with a lot of my clients that I work with, when I start with them, I usually do like hair and makeup first, so I kind of talk and get to know them and make them feel a little bit more comfortable, and I'm a people person, so I like to kind of get the core of things and hear their story, and we don't have to talk about what we're doing, but we're just life in general. And then by the time I get to the part where I need to photograph them, I feel like their guard's starting to let down a little bit. I help them with like outfit selection and everything, but with empowering, I feel you don't just have to wear like lingerie and all that. You can if you want to. Say that you love to work out or do yoga or something that makes you feel really, really good, or you love to wear suits, or you love to wear a certain dress or a certain attire, just something
that, like
that you put on and you feel empowered. You feel really, really good about yourself. And then something maybe even in your closet you didn't know about, and I'll go and do like a home consultation and look through your stuff and say, what do you like about this? How do you feel when you wear this? That type of thing. So I really try to personalize it as much as I can. So
that's a great idea to spin it that way.
Yeah.
And do you find that most clients that come to you for that type of photography, are they doing it for themselves or are they doing it as a gift? What's the...
Both. I think both. I think they might come in as a gift, but then they leave saying, that changed me.
Mm-hmm.
So then they did it for themselves.
So, interesting. So what have you learned about... clients, about women and women and men in general who come in for these sessions?
I think a lot of people, we get so busy with life happens, you know, we jobs and children and partners and whatever, the hustle and bustle, that we don't take enough time for ourselves, a little bit of me time. So I think it almost resets that, where they're like, I'm so glad I did this for myself. Not only if I wanted to do it for a gift, but I'm so glad I took the time for myself to feel good about myself.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like even with you, she would tell me afterwards, she's like, I just feel more confident. I feel like, not that you don't have, but just it's different, right? I mean,
I feel
like it just gives you a different feel, and it's you tap into something that you maybe forgot about or that you've never tapped into before.
I think it was surprising. Like, I walked away feeling more capable, more confident in myself as a woman, as a person. Yes, it started out as a gift, but I walked away thinking, man, like, I didn't know I had that in me. You know, and it was kind of crazy. I remember you telling me a story. We were talking. We had a little bit of wine together, to help out. But I think, you know, you were talking about how you had ladies who had come through who would do one year, and they wanted to see their transformation. Like, they were in this transformation phase. And so they did it to document it. So they did it, you know, X month, and then X month later, they did it again to sort of document that transformation of who they were and who they've become. And I just thought that that was such a powerful story. Yeah. I think that you've really captured that well, and you've really expanded it as you're moving forward in your business as well.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. I think a lot of my clients, they've done it like 3 or 4 times. They started out a certain direction and they kind of just went kind of simple. And then an age range could be anywhere from like young, not super young, but like in 20s to like I've done almost up to 80. So I love that. So there's no restriction on it. It could be anything you make it, but then I kind of spin off of that with artistic and creativity and making them feel good as well. So.
And I'm sure part of that feeling good and that empowerment comes from the fact that you make them look good. I mean, that's your job to make them look good. And then it's documented. And as Ange said, it's something you can look back on too. You know, it's something that's physical there for you to say, you know, to kind of recall that feeling, remember that time. And, you know, photos are priceless. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah,
the concept behind that.
Yeah. I think it's important to have an image like that for yourself, no matter what it, you know, just if you're having a bad day or whatever, and you're like, you know what? I got this. Like, if I could, you look at yourself in an image and you're like, no, I got power in me. I can get through anything. You know? And I think that's really, really important.
And what I love about those two is that, you know, I mean, those were 3 years ago, or whatever. And, gained a few pounds and worked out a little less or whatever. But when I look at those photos, my first thought isn't, oh man, look how skinny I was. My first thought is, I rocked that.
She did.
Like, I need to channel that. Like, where is that confidence? Where, how do I channel that right now?
Yeah.
And, you know, in these days of social media and stuff, you know, pictures will pop up on like memories and Facebook and stuff like that. You're like, oh man, like I was so skinny back then, or I was so young back then, or whatever. And these just aren't that. Like, these have a different emotion behind them that when I look back on them, like, they just channel something completely different, which is amazing.
And connected to that feeling. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah. Well, I'm sure a lot of our listeners will definitely be interested.
Yeah.
And we'll give your contact information at the end here.
Thank you.
We kind of jumped right into it.
We did.
Yeah. It's
all good. Sorry. So let's backtrack a little bit. All right. So Beth Ann, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So basically I grew up, in the Elkhart area of Indiana, and, if you want to dig in, I basically lost my parents at a pretty young age. I was 18 with my mom and then 19 with my dad. So kind of like my whole world was kind of rocked pretty quick. I was 18 then, and then I was 19 with my dad. So my mom was 45, my dad was 46. They both died of sudden heart attacks.
Just
kind of like with that, puts life in perspective.
Absolutely.
And then it also, I didn't want anybody to feel what I felt, and I didn't want them to not have images that are important. You know, as a family, we didn't have a lot of family photos. My mom did not like her photo taken. And so the photos I did have, it was kind of either hands on the face, you know what I mean? Like, it not the traditional family kind of stuff. So I kind of took all that pain and all that shit, pretty much. And just tapped in and picked up the camera again. I started in high school. My dad bought my first camera for me. And after I went through all that, I kind of didn't do it for a while. And I thought, no, I need to, like, there's something in me says, pick this camera back up and do something. You got to take all this shit that you're feeling and you've got to, like, help people. Like, you've got to give them what you don't have. So that's just kind of something that sparked, definitely going, like, family photos was the big thing when I first started. And then that transitioned to seniors, and then they graduated and got married, and I was doing weddings. And at the whole time I was doing all this, I was working at a salon, and I knew I wanted to go full time, but I knew it was going to take me some time.
Yeah.
I wanted to kind of get my feet wet, and I wanted to have, obviously I went to school for it a little bit, but I wanted to really, like, learn everything that I can before I go full time and invest in the right equipment as well, too. I feel that's a big thing. So I worked at a salon during the same time. That's where I incorporate the hair and makeup for my clients, too,
for all
my ladies. So I'll do that before the sessions. And so that's kind of a nice little add-on. But anyways, so working at the salon for a long time, I was just at a point where I saved up enough. I was ready. And I thought, this is it. I'm going to do it. So I did a really cool workshop in Portland. It changed my life. And came home, and I was like, it's time to it's time to do what I love, you know.
Yeah, so you jumped into it. How old were you when you jumped into photography full-time?
So it was 9 years ago in April of this year. So,
okay.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Gotcha.
So, yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy how fast time has flown and how much has changed. Even from her wedding, it's for me, it's changed. Yeah. So,
well, it's an art, right? Yeah. And yeah, so for me, art changes and your perspective changes and your style changes and, you know, artists never seem to stick with with one thing, right? Because you're always seeking inspiration.
Yeah, you gotta feed your creative soul. Yeah, 100%. And I think for me, it's emotion and connection. I want to connect with my clients and I want to tap into the emotion with my clients, no matter what I'm shooting. So that's where I try to separate myself as well, is where I want to, like she said, she walked away and she felt amazing and confident. I want that out of my clients. I want them to either look, and then for her wedding, if she looked back and she's like, had that moment of like, oh, you know, that just that, if I can't feel something from image, I'm not going to give it to my client. So how can they feel something? That's a big thing for me.
You said that when you lost your mother and your father, that it became important for you to take those photos of other people to help people. Is that something that you realize now looking back, or was that a conscious choice at the time, knowing that it was a way you were almost going to try to heal? I don't know if it's the right word, but a way to deal with that loss.
I think at the time I was so young that I just needed to put positivity back in. I was getting way too negative, and just family situations, just with aunts and uncles and cousins, people wanting things, and just a hot mess. And so I wanted to try to just feel good again, whatever I could do. So picking up the camera for me was kind of an outlet. So at the time, I think I was so young, I didn't realize, but I knew I've always been like a person to help people. I love to give back. That's always been, it's been instilled in me. But I think now, older and kind of healed more, I've dealt with a lot of shit, and I've really like came through a lot of shit the past couple years, actually. I finally dealt with some things I should have dealt with a long time ago. And now knowing that, I know why I do what I do.
Did photography help you along the way in doing that?
Yeah, 100%. I think it saved me, to be honest, on certain things. I think that, you know, you realize what's important and what's not important. And it's a photograph, but it's more than that to me. And I think the clients that I do attract are similar to me, where they feel they're worth, you know, they're like, hey, the investment, I'm all in. You know what I mean? It's not about the money. It's about like a good connection and giving back and making people feel good and having memories for the rest of their lives. You can't put a price tag on that. So it's helped me. It's made me learn a lot about myself, but it's made me look back, and I have clients that still contact me years later and they're like, I can't thank you enough. You know, I just had my grandmother pass, or I had so-and-so pass, and I have those fine. That's the last image I have with them is one of them that I took. Like, you can't, that's amazing. It's like full circle, you know, just to come back and to know I'm giving back and making people have memories forever. That's a big thing.
Yeah. And you really started to live that yourself too, right? I mean, I know that's something that, you know, the connections and the storytelling and stuff like that you wanted to bring to your clients, but you started to live that yourself. I know that you know, with your grandmother and like, you made it a point to spend time with her and document those moments so that you had them. And I think that that's really important when you're sort of, you know, preaching a certain thing to also live it.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of comes full circle, and it exudes in what you do. Right?
Yeah, totally. No, my grandmother stepped in pretty much like right after my parents passed. And it was my mom's mother. And so she basically got rid of her apartment, moved into the house, helped, you know, I'm so young, I didn't know what all I needed to do. I mean, you have to turn into like a 41-year-old right away. You know what I mean? It's like, I had bills and estate and all kinds of crazy stuff.
You were 18. And then 19. Do you have brothers and sisters?
No. Okay. Only child.
Gotcha.
So, she moved in right away, helped with everything, just kind of sort of, you know, just stuff that you, a 19-year-old shouldn't have to deal with. And then lost at the same time. So she kind of stepped in and played the parent role for both, and we became very, very close. And so over time, we lived together for quite a while. Then I went off to college to IU, and then came back home with her again. So yeah, and she didn't drive, so I would like do everything for that mm-hmm. part. She was very stubborn and did everything else, but the driving part I would take it, make sure she got where she mm-hmm. needed to go and all mm-hmm. that stuff. But we became really close, and I've learned a lot through her, and I think she learned a lot through me. And when it came full circle towards the end of her life, it was time for me to take care of her. It was kind of she did so much for me. It was mm-hmm. the least I could do for her. Mm-hmm. So during that time, I definitely documented that whole process.
So describe, what do you mean by you documented the process?
So basically what happened, she lived by herself until she was 95. And so, yeah, she's very stubborn, did her thing, you know. Towards the end, she was starting to get a little more like dementia and stuff like that. But she was still with it. She mm-hmm. just had her little moments. Mm-hmm. She fell and broke her arm on mm-hmm. like collarbone and like another bone in her arm. So after that, there was no way she could go back to her apartment just because she couldn't even like pull herself up and all that stuff. So my mom had two brothers, my uncles. So they were in charge kind of everything. And so they decided that she should go to a nursing home. I was kind of on the fence with it. But at that point, you need somebody to come in and help, you know, with everything. So she went into the nursing home after that. And that's when I just know her. I mean, after I lived with mm-hmm. her for so long, we knew mm-hmm. each other very, very well. That I knew it wasn't going to take long. Even though she broke her arm, I knew there was more to it. So she literally like got into the nursing home and she died about 9 months after.
Wow.
And just, you know, I wanted to capture that time. Uh-huh. So any, like her physical therapy, I'd take a couple images, but I would go and I'd give her like a manicure pedicure type thing, sit with her. We play our favorite music. She loved birds. So I would like, there was like a bird feeder right outside her window. So I'd make sure it always was filled so she can at least watch the birds. Mm-hmm. Just, it's almost like you just go and do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I didn't think twice. Mm-hmm. And of course, I was an asshole when I went in there with all the nursing staff and make sure she was taken care of and when she wasn't and, mm-hmm. you know, voice mm-hmm. my opinion on that. But it definitely makes you think about a lot of things, what's important, what's not. And I had some family issues during that time because I did step in, but mm-hmm. she was a parent, you know, and I didn't give a shit. I was like, I love her and I'm there for her. I'm not, yes, it's helping me, but I'm there for her 100%. Mm-hmm. So during that whole documenting time, I did have some issues with my family. They're like, please take these down. We shouldn't post about this. And I'm like, it's my choice. It's my decision. And I feel that people need to remember their grandparents or their elders and know that, you know, that they need time too, and just to listen and mm-hmm. whatever you can do to be there for them.
Did you find in that documentation, you know, like as you would post the photographs and tell the stories and things like that, that, you know, people who were following you or whatever would reach out like from a relatability standpoint? I mean, you know, we talk about these like taboo topics that people don't necessarily like to talk about. And a lot of times, you know, the end of life and getting older and those sorts of things are, I mean, that's one of them because it's terrifying to mm-hmm. us and it's sad and it comes with all of these emotions, but it's also really authentic and it's very real. And, you know, I know a lot of times people really appreciate that. I'm curious to know if anybody sort of reached out to you and they were just like, thank you.
Yeah, I actually had a couple people. They were like, I thank you so much. I need to get out and visit my grandparents more, or mm-hmm. I need to go visit my great uncle or whatever. And it's almost like people started posting more after that. I found like people that I knew personally.
Sure.
I mean, I'm sure people did beforehand. Sure. But I found that people started posting more. They were going to visit. They were having like the hand holding image, or they're having like sharing, you know, coffee, tea, whatever, mm-hmm. or having like a drink together, whatever. Just I felt like it was kind of like we do forget about that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And I did have a lot of people, like Angie said, that reached out and thanked me. They're like, I'm glad that you're posting this. Please. It's actually kind of, I feel like she's my grandmother. Like, what's next, you know?
So. Yeah. Then they're invested in her story mm-hmm. and probably providing you with some support as well. And,
yeah, totally.
Yeah. I mean, it certainly is important to document the lives of mm-hmm. people who are important to us, because too often we don't realize that until it's too late.
Right.
You know, and totally. Then we didn't take advantage of that time because time is fleeting and it's not promised, but it sure is taken advantage of, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we rush through life and forget that what we're doing is rushing through the minutes of every day, totally. You know? So.
Well, and from a social media perspective, you know, there are a lot of things wrong with social media these days, but like being able to share it on social media when those Facebook memories pop up. And yes, they'll be a little bittersweet, but man, will they bring back some great memories. And that's something that, you know, 15 years ago we didn't have, or, you know, I lost my grandmother very early on in life when I was like 10 years old. I don't have those memories that pop up, or, you know, those sorts of things. And so, you know, being able to share that stuff and having those reminders that you did have that support and you did have those really special relationships. And I mean, those are important to remember, because not only because they were special, but because they evoke a certain emotion in you and remind mm-hmm. you of a certain quality in yourself as well, you know? Yeah,
definitely. I agree.
Mm. Yeah. I love how images carry on the memories, and you're talking about like Facebook memories. And, you know, I check it every morning, because I didn't get on Facebook until my first son was born, but now that's been 10 years. And so I have the documentation of my children growing up through Facebook, and man, some of those images kill me. That's for sure. Like, I'll hop on and I'll see my middle daughter who's 8, you know, and I'll see an image of her at her like preschool concert. And it's like, gosh, I remember doing her hair for that. And the time, it just reminds you how fast time just flies. And I think it's such a good reminder, even though, you know, it's bittersweet, but so nice to have that, those it memories is, for sure. And so important. So, all right. So let's go back a little bit. Okay. We talked about your background. We talked about doing that. Let's talk more practically. So these days, right, do you find it's difficult because you're a photographer, professional photographer, but everybody has a camera right in their back pocket today. Yeah. So talk about how, when you got into it, how it's changed from 9 years ago until now in your industry.
Major. It has changed a lot, especially like with iPhones, iPads, all that. And everything's digital too. I think and now even having portrait mode and in the iPhone, like, you can get a really nice image.
I just took one of the wine glass that I'm going to share on our social page. There I was like, go. Damn, that looks good.
You're like, I got this. Right? I think what I don't know where you want me to go, but what I don't like about it is that it's almost like when I do a wedding, people don't pay attention. So like, they have the iPhones or the iPads and they're leaning in the aisles and they're not being respectful enough to know that I'm behind them. Or I've had a lot of issues this past two seasons where I've actually lost images because somebody physically walked up in front of me to take a picture and then walk. And then I literally had to like have them kind of move back so I can get the rest of the wedding ceremony. It's kind of sad to me. You know what I mean? I get it. Like, if you go to like a concert and you want to like film it and whatever, I totally get that part. But for weddings, I really try to instill my clients to have an unplugged wedding. Like, you know, just the ceremony part, if they're cool with it. And then afterwards, if I'm doing formals, that's come into now too, where I have people over me or leaning on me or, you know, just trying to get the same image. And I'm like, look at me, because everybody else is looking everywhere else. So that's been a challenge as well. I get it. People are excited. They want to have images, but that's where I have to say that's been a challenge. But I'm trying to educate my clients before it even happens, if that makes sense.
That's a good idea to educate them, because then they can tell people not to do that, or hopefully not to do that. But it's probably a bummer too, because people take those photos. They're probably shitty photos. I mean, they're like,
what the hell are you going to do with it? Right. You know, not to be mean, but I'm like, what are you, like, I get it.
They're just going to post it on Facebook and that's it, you know? But then it's like, okay, they like steal the thunder, you know, of the professional image. And
Well, and they're not really in the moment either.
No.
Like, you know, I'm thinking about, this is not, a wedding or whatever, but we just went and saw Bob Seger a couple of weeks ago. One of my husband's favorite artists or whatever. And he was amazing. Like, I liked Bob Seger. I wasn't a huge fan, but we went and saw him, and he hands down might be the best concert I've ever gone and seen. But I actually found myself, like, I would record it and stuff like that, and in my head I'm thinking, I need to put this down and just enjoy where I'm at, what's going on right now. And so I would put it away.
Yeah.
And really do that. And I think weddings are, you know, a great example of that. You know, if your camera's up, you're more focused on whether you're getting a good photo or whatever, as opposed to just enjoying the moment. And I imagine as a photographer, it's really frustrating when those things are going on. Yeah, totally. I can't imagine.
Or I've handed an iPhone. They're like, can you take that image? My phone. Which, you know what? I get it. They're excited. They want it. And sometimes I don't mind, but sometimes I'm just upfront. Like, you know what? We'll have an online gallery. You can download it. Like, because sometimes I'm in a time crunch. I don't have time to take your iPhone image and, you know.
Right.
And I'm all about, like, helping and being respectful. But, like, if it's kind of like, all right, come on. You know.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That would certainly be a challenge. So what was it like 9 years ago, though? I mean, obviously, without the iPhones, was there?
So 9 years ago, it was it was that whole new digital kind of came in. Yeah. Just was still kind of fresh. Uh-huh. So I think it definitely wasn't as bad. Yeah. Film was still a big factor. Yeah. So it was kind of a split. It was between film and digital. Huh. So I think we didn't have as much of issues like that. I feel like in the past 2-3 years, especially this past year, it's been like full on.
Okay.
Like, it's been. Yeah. I think because we just live through our phones. Mm-hmm. Like we're attached to them. I get it. You know, I've done it. I've been to a show, but then I'm like, no, come on, take it in. You know. So, but it's the same kind of concept. I think too for ceremonies or even if I'm out doing events, same kind of concept. They're like, hey, I want a picture with my iPhone, which I'm like, all right, you know. So you just make it work. It's a whole different mentality, I guess, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, I don't think we had to really deal with it back 9 years ago. Yeah. It was just different.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Let's talk weddings.
Okay.
And bridezillas.
Okay. Going in. All right. Actually, to be honest, sometimes it's not even the bride. She's like, so there's this girl named Angie. Who...
Oh, stop. Right. I want the real dish.
No. Sometimes it's not even the bride. It's like a parent or it's a sibling or a best friend.
Is there always one? For
there's
every
always
wedding.
One or two. There's always an Uncle Bob, which is somebody with a camera or iPad or something in a wedding. You know right away who they are. Like, they're going to either come up and ask you questions or they're going to be in your way. So you scout them out first. I call them Uncle Bobs. And I think a lot of photographers do, but we call them Uncle Bobs because we know. And then I think, I don't know how else to say it, but yeah. But I usually try to really get to know my client beforehand as much as I can. Obviously, if they're out of town, I'll still like connect over the phone and stuff like that. But I try to get every family dynamic and anything, friend, whatever I can do beforehand. So then I kind of know. I don't want to have, you know, once in a blue moon, you're going to have something. I get it. But I want to kind of know, like, how, and a lot of people tell me, well, my best friend, she comes in strong, she's whatever, which is good. You know, it's good to have those, but I'll at least know a heads up, like, okay, I need to like tread lightly on this one.
You're like, tell me about your mother-in-law.
Like, for real. Like, you just gotta like kind of, and I study psychology for school, so I kind of just throw that in with all that I do, you know?
That's so it's
just,
funny.
Yeah.
So you talk about that ahead of time, and usually you know going in,
know
where's
going
Uncle
in.
Bob?
Yep.
Where's crazy best friend?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a little different. I like to kind of know everything before I walk into it, if that makes sense.
You are really intuitive. I do have to say that. Like, she...
You poor thing.
I'll tell a story. So Beth Ann wanted to get this, like, epic shot. I wore these sort of Tiffany blue shoes or whatever.
Oh,
and it was...
They're beautiful.
Right? They were. They
we're
going
to have to share one of those photos.
I'll bring them with me and throw them on my feet one
of
these days.
We got the image.
I want the image.
We did get the image.
I want
That's
the
true.
Image
okay.
that we're going to share.
Okay. So wedding day, right? And we were outside. It was warm. And it wasn't like epically warm, but it was warm.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my poor husband was in the kitchen at the time waiting for us to be done with photos. And she's trying to get this shot where, like, I'm, like, super cute and, like, pulling my dress up and you can see my shoes, you know, whatever. And all of a sudden I just hear Beth Ann go, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And she's, like, trying to take the shot and she's like, I don't think you're okay. So she pulls a chair over, sits me down, and literally 3 seconds later I jet for the bathroom. It was not okay. I apparently did not eat enough. And the nerves got to me. I ended up getting sick.
You threw up on your wedding day?
I did.
Before you walked down the aisle?
Yeah. Nope. Before. It was all before. Todd ended up in the kitchen for like an hour. He got a standing ovation from the kitchen staff. They fed him while he was there because he like gave this great speech about thanking them for all of the things. But we got the shot.
We got the shot.
I came back out. We got the shot. Beth Ann is very intuitive. Like, it really helps her out to get to know her clients.
Yeah.
So
yeah, well, they're not just my clients.
There's my story.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, story. I want to get to know them.
I mean, obviously, no, like, no, what, yeah, four years later, and I still follow you, yeah. And I love you, and all of those things. So, yeah.
But no, I knew not she did not clients. Feel well. Poor thing.
Before I even knew it.
She was like, no, really.
I'm like,
no, really. Your pale skin's really going to mess up this shot. Well,
she's like, yeah. She's kind of leaning. Yeah. I'm like, something's up. I'm like, chair, let's do this.
Yeah.
Is there always, I mean, you go in, you're expecting these things to happen. You know, you feel pretty prepared. But I would imagine on a wedding day, there's always something that can go awry, or there's always something that you don't anticipate that happens, and that's gonna have to impact you, right?
Totally.
As a photographer.
So that's another thing I like to do too. Mm-hmm. Before I meet with a client, so I'll meet with them about 2 months before the ceremony, mm-hmm. and we'll go over again. I create a timeline. I'm big about timelines, including people having like structure, and so people know where, when, and all that good stuff. But then also too, like, I always have a go-to person. So I have them designate a go-to person. I usually try to get somebody that's not family if I can, obviously, because family's usually involved in the images, right. But like a close friend that's going to be there or willing to come early. So then if something happens that if I don't have to let the couple know ahead of time and I can like take care of it or have this go-to person take care of it, I'm all about it. Because the minute that happens and they know, I've lost them.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I can't get them back. I can't. They're going to just be focused on that. And then they're not going to, they'll take images, but I'm not going to get the core of them, if that makes sense. So I've had.
And you're a pro. I mean, who would think about that? She's amazing.
I
mean, who would even think?
I mean I put people in my car to do like a drive around because the limo didn't show up. And I had like one of the groomsmen on the phone calling the limo company. Like, it's just whatever I can do.
Yeah.
And then anytime I'm asked what time it is, or what's happening, I'd be like, it's fine. You don't need to worry about it. And then they're like, okay, I trust you. Mm-hmm. And it just works. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I feel that if somebody hires you, there needs to be trust. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, I'm not just going to show up and just take your photos and then I'm out. Like, there's so much more to it for me. Mm-hmm. So I want to make sure everything goes as well as it can. And if I need to put you somewhere else because the lighting's shitting in a room and you're getting ready, I'm going to do it. And I, you know, it's like, it's that kind of type of thing.
And you work pretty closely with the other vendors as well.
Yeah, totally.
Like that is another thing that I really appreciated. I mean, you were right there with the other vendors, like sort of talk. I mean, they were essentially our guests. I mean, they were friends and guests and like they sat through the wedding, but she was always, you know, in touch with like our videographer and even our wedding coordinator and all of those sorts of things without me even knowing about it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. So tell me your best shit show story.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, what do you
want to know this too?
I know. I'm like, okay, so what do you want to know? Like, kind of
anything.
I mean, I'm thinking about my listeners, right? And I'm thinking, all right, you're sitting down, you're enjoying this Hustling in Heels podcast. We're talking to a wedding photographer, and you've been to weddings. You've probably been, maybe you've been married, and you know
there's a disaster somewhere.
There's a disaster somewhere.
Yeah.
Like, do you want, like, the drunk dads?
Oh.
Do you want, like,
I feel like you have so many stories.
I know
it's probably, like, this is a whole other episode.
I'm like, where are we going with this
wedding
one?
Disaster stories.
It's probably really
But is there one that, like, really stands out?
Like, when you think of it, you're like, so, for example, while you're thinking, like, again, my sister's a photographer, so I've heard all kinds of great stories. You know, stories of floods. That's one of my favorite. You know, the story of this place that it was flooding during the wedding. The whole thing. You know, or stories of you know, ripped dresses or bridesmaids who are a mess or all of these things. Because there's so much that goes into this day, right? There's so much planning, so much money, so much anticipation. It's all built up in everyone's heads. And then, as with any event, there's going to be little mishaps, but those get just amplified on this day, on the most important day of your life, as people will say, right?
No, so, I guess with you saying that coming to mind years ago, maybe just before your wedding, year before your wedding, I did a wedding and she had a custom Vera Wang gown made for her. So when it came time for her to get into her dress, I'm like, okay, do you step in your dress? Do you put it over your head? Like, let me know. And she goes, I usually, every fitting I'd stepped into it. Well, for some weird reason, she couldn't get the zipper down. So she literally was like, and it's like a mermaid. It's like tight. You know what I mean? No. So like, and she's tiny, don't get me wrong, but her hair is not everything else. I'm like, we have to put this thing over her damn head. Like, what are we going to do? So she starts freaking out. So I'm like, shit, this is not good. So I get like the mom and the sister. I said, okay, I need you to get everybody out of this fucking room right now. Like,
yeah.
Is that okay to say?
Yo, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, get everybody out of the fucking room right now. Because she's starting to like get like hot. It's almost like a carry thing from, you know, Sex and the City. Yeah. She's kind of getting highs. And I'm like, oh, this is not good. So I was like, get everybody out of the room. I said, we got this. I said, I looked at her. I said, do you trust me? And she goes, I don't know. I'm like, okay, do you trust me? Like, you know, I'm just like, mm-hmm. We got to get this fucking dress on. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
She paid all this money for this beer white dress. So I was like, okay, we're going to go over the head. We're going to try it. But if it doesn't work, the zipper's going to work. I promise it's going to work at this point. I'm just going to say it and it's going to work. I'm putting it out to the universe. Uh-huh. I'm praying this shit's going to work out. So she tries and we just couldn't get over her shoulders. Uh-huh. And I'm like, shit. I'm like, okay, it's fine. And the whole time, I'm just like, I don't know what it is. I just go into this mode of everything's fine. I just get this like calming voice. It just, I don't know. I just do it. And then the mom's just like, yeah, it's going to be fine. So that helps. Like when you get like other people kind of on your level. So she stopped. She started kind of like calming down a little bit. Yeah. I was like, the minute we tried over her shoulder, she went back into like panic mode. She started bawling. And I'm like, okay, got this. We, you know, I'm like, somebody get the fucking makeup artist. We got to redo her makeup. You know, I was like, we got like, I was like, don't have them leave. Like, you know, like you just kind of go into that. Thank God. So we took the damn thing off. And so I was like, I'm going to just try the zipper one more time. One more time. I'm just, you know, and then I don't want to break it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're talking like a freaking like $20,000 dress, you know? So I'm like, finally the damn thing just came down. And then I'm like, well, I hope it goes back up. So I was like, but I was like, fuck it.
Right.
Safety pin it. We put it on her. And it did. She got into it. Makeup artist came in. The hairstylist came back in, fixed it. But man, it was, I didn't know if she was going to get her dress. So what do you do with that?
That would be scary.
Yeah.
Oh, so. Yeah, ooh. You don't have a backup.
No backup dress
for your wedding dress.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Goodness.
So, yeah, that was one of the, that's one that sticks out.
That's a good one.
There's obviously others. But yeah. Yeah, that definitely.
Yeah, I'm sure receptions are.
Receptions are the shit show.
Yeah.
I had a New Year's wedding this year, you know, not too long ago, and there was shit show. So, yeah. The dad, he, God love him, but he drank a little bit too much and was kind of falling and whatnot. And then she had a coworker that, I don't know what the hell happened. He had like an asthma attack and then he started throwing up. Like, so he had to call EMT. Like, it was, by the time by 1 a.m., I'm like, I'm done. God love everybody. But yeah.
Weddings are such a beautiful mess.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm totally sure.
Yeah. But, yeah. So we got the dad in the Uber. EMT came for the guy. Everybody's good. And they kept partying. So, and I left. Well, I mean, I was out after that.
He left, like, and then you got the pictures to prove it. Yeah, all of that good stuff. Oh, I bet they just love when they get the photos back.
Yeah, they do. That's the fun part, too. Mm-hmm. I think I start with an online gallery for them. So, I'll start, like, uploading things in different segments. So, they kind of get, like, a little teaser, if that makes sense. And then, I'll do everything online. And then I give them a really cool custom USB drive now. And it's a little different. Sorry, you didn't get the custom one, I got some new ones that I work with, and then and it's cool because they'll be like, oh, I didn't know you captured that, or I forgot about that, you know, and like I said too, over time they'll contact me and be like, thank you. I've had like people that have tragic loss, kind of like me, where they were like, the last image I have is what you took, that's all I have.
Yeah,
and so that just is so rewarding, fills my heart with joy too, just to know that they have that.
Well, it seems like you definitely have taken, you know, that tragedy that was in your life, and you've really added joy to the lives of all the people that you've photographed. And so talk a little bit about how you're transitioning in your career and what you're doing now.
So basically I'm 9 years in going this year, which is amazing. I'm so thankful and blessed for that. But I was kind of, this past two seasons, I still love weddings, don't get me wrong, but I was kind of like, I needed to fill my creative soul again. Like, there were certain things I was like, man, I need to tap into something. I need to start doing like a side project, or I need something. Because I feel like once you start doing this for so long, you just kind of, you don't want to lose sight of why you started, but then you don't want to lose sight of your creative part of it. Because that's kind of, you're kind of like the canvas of it. You're like painting it, you know? So I needed something to fulfill that. I reached out to a friend of mine in Chicago. He's a dancer for Giordano Dance Company. And I said, hey, do you guys, I love dance because I've loved it forever. And I used to dance back in the day, like ballet and whatever. But I've always been like just a huge fan watching like So You Think You Can Dance and all that stuff. I reached out and said, hey, do you guys need photos for anything, for rehearsals, for like before you do performances or anything like that? I'm just like trying to get that outlet, yeah, creative thing. I thought I'm just going to roll with it and ask. Why not ask? He was like, yeah, let me talk to the owner and I'll let you know. Well, they had this huge performance at the Harris Theater last October, so over a year ago. And he was like, yeah, come on into the rehearsal. You can take some photos. We have a main photographer, but hey, like take some photos, mm-hmm, and maybe we'll use them and whatever you want to do. I literally got there and I was like a kid in candy store, like the lighting, the emotion, all this. I'm like, oh, this is it. This is what I've been missing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? It's like this, that puzzle piece. You're just like, ah, oh, this is awesome. So I sent a couple images to the owner and I posted a couple images and they were like, and I did all black and white. I decided if I'm doing this, I want to be different. And I've always been the one that I want to be different. I don't want to be like everybody else. I don't want to be nothing against like traditional photos.
No, but you have to set yourself apart in this industry too.
And it doesn't fulfill me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It doesn't feed my creative soul. So I'm like, if I'm going to do this, I'm doing all black and white. I love black and white. That's when I first started. That sparked me. So I'm going back into how I was back then and just doing straight black and white. They literally love them. They're like, what the hell? Like, you know, we've never seen, like, we're just used to, like, color, and mm-hmm, it's half out of focus, and it's whatever. And they were like, this is so different than what we're used to. Can you come back? And I'm like, yeah. So I started coming back a little bit more for certain things. And then literally, no joke, last week, I did this really cool shoot for them, same dance company. I took them to this really cool, like, lighting exhibit that was next to Navy Pier. And did some, like, just really different stuff. And then the owner of Giordano Dance Company reached out and said, Bethann, take them down. We want them. And we want to hire you full-time this whole season. We have all these choreographers coming in from L.A., all around the world. They're creating pieces for us. And we want you to capture from start to finish to do a whole series. And then all the images, the first one now that I'm working on, Miranda Davis, she's absolutely amazing. Finishes up tomorrow. I go tomorrow morning and take the last thing for them. And then the performance will be at the Harris Theater in March. And then they're going to take 15 images that I took and present them in the theater. So, I mean,
that's huge.
It's pretty badass.
Big time. Look at you. I'm so proud of you. Yeah. That's amazing.
Congratulations. Thank you so much. Thank you. So something that I put it out to the universe. I'm a big believer in that now. Mm-hmm. Put it out to the universe. I'm like, hey, I need to find something creative again. And this started and it just kept kicking over and over. And then now I'm doing this. So I don't know. Yeah. We'll see what's to come.
And something we talk about a lot here is just jumping.
Yeah.
And you kind of did that. I mean, you just sort of jumped, like you said. I mean, you never know until you ask, right?
Yeah, you got to ask.
So you just, you put it out there because it's your passion. It's something that you loved and you took a chance and oh my gosh, like how amazing is
this? Thank you so much.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm super excited. And it's almost like you're just like, holy shit, this is happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you're excited at the same time, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it's, I feel like, cause you know, we all go through periods in life and you just kind of have a freak out moment a little bit. You're like, oh, I don't know. Should I not? Fucking go for it. You just got to, because the minute you question yourself or put fear into it, it's not going to pan out. But if you just let it go and try, you know what I mean? And then I would never guess in a million years, if you would ask me 9 years ago if this were to happen, I'd be like, hell no, I'd be just doing wedding, whatever, which I still am, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But I would never say that I'm doing something I've always loved anyway. And it's crazy how it's all come full circle. And like the choreographer literally that I'm working with now, like I've loved her work forever. Mm. And it's just like, it's crazy. It's a good crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm super excited to see what comes from
it. Yeah. It obviously speaks to the whole idea of taking those risks and jumping and getting that reward of being able to just say, you know, fuck it, I'm going to do it. Like, this is something that I want to do. But what I think goes unnoticed sometimes is that took some years to get to that.
Yeah.
And so it's not just when we talk about jumping, it's not like jumping without a safety net, you know, or jumping without a parachute. Like, there's hard work behind mm-hmm. the scenes, mm-hmm. right? Totally. That comes with this whole idea of jumping. So don't. So we tell our listeners all the time, like, if you're thinking about something, if you're contemplating something, do it. Right. Absolutely do it, because yeah. what's the worst that could happen? They yeah. say no, you're back to where you were in the beginning. Who cares? But right. don't forget that in order to jump, you're going to have to do a lot of work yes. behind the yeah. scenes 100%. Too. So talk about that part of it. I mean, it's not easy what you do. It's not just like you go in, snap photos, edit, you know, eat ice cream the rest of the day. Like, what is the life of a professional photographer?
It's a lot. It's people think that we just show up and eat the cake at a wedding, you know, and hang out. Mm-hmm. It's totally, there's so much prep beforehand. There's mm-hmm. so much prep after. The day of is just more physical. You know yeah. what I mean? You're literally yeah, yeah. like, you know, well, you know, you're tapping emotionally mm-hmm. too. But it's, there's so much more involved. The editing time alone could take, it takes weeks. It mm-hmm. takes, you know, for me, I have photographer friends that are a little bit different. They literally like just batch them out and then they're done, whatever. But I, that's my creative part and that's like my painting. So I want to make sure it's a finished product for my client. I'm not going to give them half-assed image, or I'm not going to give them unfinished image. And I'm going to make it easy for them by putting them in folders. So getting ready images are in one folder, mm-hmm. You know, that type of thing. Some of my photographer friends, they literally just give them the images and then they're on the
500 USB. Images. There you go. Yeah. Right.
And you got to sort through that shit. Mm-hmm. Like I'm just trying to think as a cusp, if I was the cusp, mm-hmm. like the person, I would be like overwhelmed. So anything I can do to take the pressure off mm-hmm. or make it easier for my yeah. clients. And I tell them ahead of time too. So yeah, that takes time. So sometimes for mm-hmm. my weddings, a turnaround time could be like 7-8 weeks.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. sometimes pushing even more. Yeah. Depending upon how back to back I am yeah. with weddings. Yeah. And each wedding is different. And that's like for her wedding, you know, it's different. I was still shooting kind of how I am now, but sometimes I'll do that one image and I won't ever recreate it again because mm-hmm. it's theirs. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. I don't want to mm-hmm. take something that I've done that doesn't fit the next couple. Everybody's right. different.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing for me yeah. too. And that takes time too to map that out or have it come to you or research. And so I think for me, maybe I'm a little bit different. I'm not like a normal traditional photographer. I really want to get to the core of your story. Mm-hmm. And I want to you to have images that how you interact mm-hmm. or how you are as a person. So, you know, I guess it's a little different. Yeah. But no, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. And that's going to play with the dance portion too, yeah. right? I mean.
Yeah. So the dance thing, it's. Knowing it's black and white, yeah, that's kind of
will they all
part.
Be black and white for this part
for
too?
This, okay. Yeah, for gotcha. This project, it will be because I was like, if I'm doing this, I want it to be different.
Yeah.
I feel like, especially with dance, there's so much emotion. And with this piece that she's creating, it's her personal story. So she's had an illness for her whole life and she has a life expectancy for maybe 5 more years. So this is like a very, very personal piece, very emotional. So like for me, the minute it came to me, I'm like, it's got to be black and white. It just, I mean, that's, mm-hmm. I feel like a black and white images really portray more emotion. And it's called Flicker. So she's going to have a lot of it like in the dark, but then have a little bit of light, which I love. As you know, I love light. I love mm-hmm. manipulating light, using light, whatever, natural, whatever. So there's just, I'm super excited about it. Mm-hmm. It's going to take time. And I'm open to possibly making a book from it too. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of on the down low, but hey, I just said it. So I put it out to the universe and then I gotta fucking do it.
There you go.
I am curious though, like from the dance perspective, I mean, I know a story can be easy to make a story into, you know, or I mean, a wedding can be easy to make a story into, but like from the dance perspective or even the fashion stuff that you do yeah. or whatever, when you start to photograph, do you already have a story in your mind when you start to do it? Does it come to you as you sort of start photographing, like those sorts of things?
No, that's a great question. I think you're like, when I did your wedding, I was one of those that night before, even though I knew kind of mm-hmm. the dynamic a little bit, I would like research Pinterest. I would not that I would copy something, but just something that would spark to me about them and whatever or whatever I'm shooting. Now I get a little bit of background, but I don't look at anything beforehand. Mm-hmm. I stopped doing that. I think it feeds me more creatively mm-hmm. that I can just feed off of the energy that's happening and how the interaction is taking place or the subject I'm photographing and roll with it. And now I've noticed my creativity is sparked even more because yes. I haven't been like, okay, I got to look back on Pinterest. That's how, this is what I thought about. And then, you know, but I don't, you know what I mean? This is different.
So it's almost like you and your subject feed off of one another.
Sometimes I don't even know I'm doing it. And then at the end, I'm like, holy shit. You know, like, this is awesome. You know, yeah. And then I want to keep going, or like, and then they're like, hey, what about this? I'm like, yeah, let's incorporate this. It's just, it's so cool. And I think with the whole thing with Mirinda, I'm taking her creativity of creating this piece and I'm putting the light with it, but then the emotion with it too through an image. So it's almost like I'm taking what she's doing, but doing it as a photographer. Mm-hmm. And doing it completely different. I mean, it's the coolest thing ever. You're working with two things that you would never think that they would go together, but they 100% do.
Yeah. So, and this is going to be at the Harris Theater
in Chicago.
Yep. Okay.
In March. Yep.
And what's the name of the Flickr?
Flickr.
Okay.
Yep.
And then are they selling tickets already for it?
I don't think yet. I'm not sure, but I will know more information tomorrow. Yeah. I think it's the weekend of the 22nd.
Okay.
But I can let you guys know. Sure. So yeah, we'd super love to excited. It's going to probably be a 2-day performance, but this piece is brilliant. So I'm super excited to see it all come together.
That's pretty exciting for you to be a big part of that. So beyond dance and that's kind of your next project, your next baby, what does the future hold for you as a photographer, do you think?
That's a great question. I'm open. I feel that this is going to take me somewhere I didn't even think of. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I think my goal is I continue to not want to be like everybody else. I want to keep pushing the limit the more and more that I can. Mm-hmm. So I'm open to see the next journey with it. My goal would be to be a world-renowned photographer, to travel and capture people all around the world. That's a big thing for me. I think that's kind of tapped in a little bit. I'm open. So we'll see. Obviously, I'll still do weddings like I'm normally doing. I have cut back on families and stuff like that. Obviously, the families I've done over the years, I'm still photographing. But I open that up to my photographer friends that are kind of new and they want to take on those clients, you know, so that's helped. And I'm a big believer too, that there's no competition. There's enough work out there for all of us.
Absolutely.
And sometimes we need to let little things go to have other things come into our place.
Yeah.
You know, so
you have to say no to some things to say hell yes to others.
Yeah, totally. Because I feel like if you get into that fear base and you're like, oh, I got to make the money, and then you do it and then you're like, oh, I hate doing that. You know what I mean? Like you don't want to get to that point. You got to like let it go. It's, I believe something's going to come to you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think photographers just in general are hustlers, certainly. I mean, 100%. Because it's not like you're showing up 9 to 5, you know, so you've got to make a name for yourself and you're the whole team. You're the business development side. You're the marketing team. You're the, you know, you're accounting, you're all of those things. So,
and man, the pressure, right? I mean, like people are depending on you to capture these images that are going to last them a lifetime. And I mean, that's some pressure.
Yeah.
It's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot.
Yeah. Because if you're the biggest day of your life, most important day of your life, you get some shitty images, you're going to be real mad.
Yeah.
And you're probably not going to say great things about the photographer. So anything that your name is on, it's obvious that you are, it is your brand. Yeah. You are your own brand manager. And your images are your brand. So I'm sure in our audience that we have some aspiring photographers, and I love that you said that it's not a competition. There's enough work out there.
Yeah.
You seem to take that role of being a mentor very seriously. Mm-hmm. So what advice do you offer to those who are starting out or who are maybe in year 1, 2 of their career? Shoot, maybe they're just thinking about jumping into it. What advice do you have?
I would say try to see what feeds your creative soul. Like, don't just feel you need to go in and photograph everything. I think that's something I could have done a long time ago. I think when I started doing it, I just photographed everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I got really overwhelmed really quick because I was just, like, trying to keep up. And then I became not present enough for my clients. You know what I mean? I wasn't – the turnaround time was taking longer, or I was like, I got to get on to the next client, that type of thing. So – I think don't feel you need to do everything all at once. Kind of research first to see what you love doing or what sparks your interest.
Yeah.
So if you love families and you want to focus on that, maybe start there. And then if you want to – I have a photographer friend. She's actually just starting out, and she's probably about a year and a half in. She started with families, and now she's branching out more for, like, seniors. She knows she doesn't want to do weddings, but you say that, and then over time, you know, you get in.
Yeah.
So – But yeah, I think if you start maybe like one or two things that you love or that interest you and feed your creative soul, and then you can add from there or take away. That's one big thing I would say. And one thing I have people tell me, and because I used to say it too, is don't look at everybody else's work. Mm-hmm. Focus on your own. Focus on what speaks to you. Like, don't feel that you need to look at all the photographers in the area and compare your work and compare yourself. We're all at different levels. We're all at different creative things that feed us and don't. We all style differently. We all edit differently. So don't take that to heart. Don't feel that you're defeated just because so-and-so is doing all this stuff. Everybody has great art. It's all on how you perceive it. And if you love it, that's all that matters. Then your clients are going to love it. If you love it, your clients are going to love it. But if you question it, then your clients are going to question it. So yeah.
Well, most of your clients, I would assume they do the research. I mean, because you can now. Your portfolios are essentially online. Yeah, you know, they're on 100%. Your Facebook page. And so I'm sure that most people, if they're smart and if you're spending money on photography, on quality photography, you should look. Yeah. So they probably come into it a little bit. They probably come to you because they like your images, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe have that confidence to know that these people are coming to you because they've seen your work. They like what you do. So take pride and take in that ownership of your work, and I'm sure that shows through.
And I think one of the great things too, just to like sort of wrap this all around, that you said to us when we first sort of sought you out was, I want to get to know you to make sure that we're a right fit. Like you were very upfront about that. You were like, I want to make sure I'm a right fit for you. I want to make sure you're a right fit for me. And I think, you know, being able to recognize that as a photographer, like if somebody isn't the right fit, being able to refer to them to somebody who might be better so that they get what they're looking for, man, speaks volumes.
Yeah.
And I really appreciated that you said that to us. And I think that just as an industry, that anybody would appreciate that, you know, because those photographs are really important.
And especially if they're super crazy and you're like, no, we're just not a great fit. Boy, do I know who you could go to. And your friend's like,
I mean, some people handle crazy better than others, right? Yeah, that's true.
And
then
you call your friend and you're like, look, girl, I got a bottle of wine and a crazy bride. Right. Yeah. You wanna, is that how it works?
Money? No, it's good. It's funny because you know right away. Like, I don't know. I think because I'm more into it now, you know. Like, and I think and I have had to turn people away because they wanted to change what I represent, and I can't do that. That doesn't fulfill me, and it's not going to fulfill them. You know, so I'm learning more and more what I won't shoot. I just and I value my time. You know what I mean?
I love that. Time.
And that's a great tip to photographers starting out too.
Yeah,
is to make sure that the people that you're seeking out are the right fit. Yeah. I mean, because that's, you know, at the end of the day, that's your reputation and it's their memories, you know.
And that probably comes with time and experience. Yeah, like in the beginning, you're probably like, yes, of course, if you're going to pay me money for my, you know, and that's part of the learning process and kind of the apprenticeship process. But yeah, I love the fact that you said that you value your time because, you know, as a hustler and as a professional woman, like, time is what you have, right? And at this point, you've developed so much in your craft that your time is valuable.
Yeah.
So people need to pay you for what they're getting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have to be able to have that time balance as well. So that's a very powerful lesson. One that I'm learning and one that she's probably already learned. She's way smarter than me.
I promise I have not. But I pretend real well, guys.
You got this. It's all good.
Hey, by the way, Angie, I said no to something this past week. Mark it down. Mark it down in the calendar.
Believe you.
Believe it, girl. Believe it. I was asked to be on a committee and I said, I thank you very much for your time, but I will just not be able to commit to this. But I know somebody who would be a great fit. And
so, I'm so proud. And seriously, I'm so proud of you. That's
I know, it
amazing.
Feels very good. I mean, I got
How'd you feel?
I mean, I got hives a little bit, but no, I'm kidding. No, it's good.
I don't think you're kidding, actually.
No, it felt good. Felt good. So, because I have a yes problem. We talk about that on here. So.
I do.
Great speaking with you. I mean, I learned a lot.
So
I learned a lot about just not only the importance of images, obviously, and carrying on those memories, but I love how your passion shines through in what you do, in your confidence in the images that you create. And I'm so excited to follow this journey about your new big project. That's going to be really cool.
Thank you so much.
I'd love to share that with our listeners. So where can, if our listeners are interested in contacting you, taking a look at your work, hiring you for a gig, we have listeners all over the globe. Maybe we have some listeners who own dance studios or that industry. How can they reach you? How can they contact you?
I have a website that they can contact me on. It's www.baandersonphotography.com.
Okay.
And then I also have Instagram. It's just under Anderson Photos.
Okay.
And obviously through Facebook, Anderson Photography.
Okay.
And then under Beth Ann as well.
Gotcha. Awesome. Cool.
Okay. Absolutely.
Anything else, Ange?
You know, so we always try to sort of end this with a quote. As much as we possibly can.
Yeah, we remember.
We've slacked a little bit. But I found this one by Maya Angelou, whom I love. And I think that it sort of encompasses what I think that you represent, Beth Ann. Okay. And it says, "My mission in life is not merely to survive, but to thrive. And to do so with some passion, some compassion, some humor, and some style." And I think that you represent so many of those things. And I know that we don't talk often, but man, I follow you and I appreciate you so much for what you're doing.
Not just through your
photography, but through your authenticity and what you post on a very daily basis, and also like empowering people because we don't do that enough. And so I just want to let you know that I really appreciate that. And I think that this quote really encompasses you.
Thank you so much.
So thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it.
I'm honored. Seriously, thank you so much. And awesome.
So. Well, we can't wait to share your story.
Yeah.
So listeners, if you are so inclined, make sure that you check out Beth Ann's work on all of those channels that she provided. We'll share those on our social page as well. And thanks for listening. Check us out wherever you can find your podcast. And we would love for you to leave us a review. And we are, as we have mentioned in a couple of our previous podcasts, if you want to meet us in person and you are in the West Michigan area on February 2nd, we will be at the Wine Knot Festival in Kalamazoo.
Absolutely.
We're pretty excited about that. And we've been doing some speaking, some showing up at different places. So that's been pretty fun. So if you have any recommendations, if you have guest recommendations or show topics, please email us at letschat@hihpod.com. Also, you can check us out on our website at hihpod.com. That needs to be updated. I know, gosh, we're busy sometimes. but the reason why I bring that up is because if you do want to receive a weekly email with our newest podcast link for your listening pleasure, you can shoot us a form on that as well. Yeah. So,
and also, if you guys have any questions, please feel free to shoot them to us. We'll try to get on air the next week and talk about them. You know, we're talking about photography right now. If you guys have any questions for Beth Ann, we can always reach out, or for, you know, Zach last week from a tattoo artist perspective, and all of the other things that he seems to be a
three-gun
connoisseur about.
Yeah, if you're a three-gun shooter as well.
But yeah, if you guys ever encounter any of our guests and you have questions for us, man, ask, because we'll try to address them the following week and chit chat with you for sure.
Yep. It's been fun. So thanks again for joining us, and we will we'll talk to you next week.
See you later, hustlers.
Hustlin' in Heels is an NBI Studios production. Your hosts are Stacy Carlin and Angie Crocker. All views and opinions expressed on the show are theirs and theirs alone. Your executive producer is Michael Bussing, and all music and artwork for the show was created by Shane Yoder with PutThemInASong.com. You can follow along with Stacy and Angie on all forms of social media, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at HIHpod. You can also send the show an email to letschat@hihpod.com. Feel free to write into the show if you're hustling in heels, tennis shoes, work boots, slippers, socks, or barefoot. So be sure to reach out to us if you've got a question, comment, want to suggest a guest, or even if you'd like to be a part of the show. That's all the ladies have today. So make sure you tune in next Wednesday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time for their newest episode. But until then, keep on hustling, ladies.